When there is good news, it's rather hard to keep it quiet. Like when a family is expecting a child, and we're not supposed to tell anybody outside of the family yet, but we find ourselves at lunch leaning over to a friend and whispering, "I'm going to be a grandmother." That we are quick to plan the nursery. We cannot wait to post online. We spend weeks designing the birth announcements. But the Gospel of Matthew reminds us that for Jesus, there was good news without an announcement. That Mary had this life-changing news, and she was trying to decide how to tell Joseph. Joseph, you might want to sit down for this one. And his silence said everything. He was speechless. And it is worse than we can imagine, because there were no good options for Joseph in Scripture. That both his family and Mary's family were faithful and devout, and they knew what the Scriptures said, and he knew what they would be thinking. That in the book of Deuteronomy, it says that if a woman is accused of infidelity, she can be stoned to death. So Joseph decides to dismiss her secretly to spare her any public disgrace. There would be no, under any terms, a public announcement. But then Joseph went to sleep that night, and an angel showed up and made an announcement. "Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." Fear is an interesting poison. It's a toxin that can get into our system and present itself as something different, that it is easily misdiagnosed. Like when we pick up the phone and call the doctor and we're talking to the nurse and we say, "My stomach is killing me." And she says, "Oh, just drive down the road and pick up some Pepto-Bismol." But as it turns out, our appendix is about to burst. Joseph thought he was trying to be faithful to what it said in the law of Moses. And he thought his primary concern was for Mary. But as it turns out, Joseph was diagnosed with fear. That Joseph was learning that facing our fears is always a part of the love of God. And "do not be afraid" is really the easy way of saying have courage. And the root word for courage means heart. It's about speaking one's heart. That courage is not always running into a burning building to save someone's life. It's not always running down the thief that's trying to get away. Sometimes it is just speaking one's heart, which is, to say the least, extremely difficult to do, especially when we are not sure others will agree with us, or when we know they will not. It's even hard with those closest to us. In Harper Lee's book, Go Set a Watchman, Scout's heart just comes leaping off the page as she is arguing with her father. That in contrast to her other book, To Kill a Mockingbird, the frail humanity of Atticus is on display. The scout always thought of her father as this porcelain saint. But then she discovers that his views on race are far more complicated than she thought, not living up to the best ideals, and she is devastated, unsure of how to speak her heart. It comes out as uncontrollable anger. It was both courageous and painful, even hurtful. And afterwards, she felt this overwhelming sense of apprehension and grief. But then her father gave her this tremendous gift. He refused to get angry. He even said he was proud of her, because he knew how hard it is to speak one's heart, to follow our conscience. That Joseph was learning that facing our fears is always a part of the love of God. And learning how to speak our hearts is important because it allows us to offer our full selves to God. There was a new dean hired by a divinity school, and it was his first time to stand up in front of everybody to speak. The faculty, naturally, were a little nervous. Donors had been invited, the deans of all the other schools from the university sitting in the front row. You even heard an audible sigh of relief from the search committee when he finished, because it had been impressive. But then everybody got up and went across campus to the president's dining room to sit down for lunch. And after everybody had finished eating, the dean stood up to speak. What else could he say? He already delivered a 35-minute sermon. But he invited all of the kitchen staff to come out from the back, and he asked everybody present to stand up in their honor and to give them a round of applause. Now, some people thought it was unnecessary, even undignified. But others saw it for what it really was: his heart. There was a young girl that hopped into her mom's car right after school, somewhere in the middle of her freshman year in high school, and she was virtually in tears. She'd gotten in trouble that day. She was sent to the principal's office, and she never got into trouble. But she was standing close to what happened, and the teacher, out of a knee-jerk reaction and at the end of a frustrating day, assumed she was part of the wrongdoing. So she ended up sitting in that chair in the principal's office that always feels like judgment. And she was trying to explain to her mom how she was innocent, and she did not know if her mother would believe her. Well, the next morning, without telling her daughter, her mother drove down to see the principal, sit in that same chair that feels like judgment, and to plead her daughter's case. Her mother was not one to ever speak up, or, as we say, to make waves, but she sat in that chair because she could not stand to see how painful it was for her daughter. The principal just sort of brushed her aside, didn't really want to hear her side of the story. In fact, when the mother left, the principal leaned over and made a snide remark to the secretary Oh, the problem with parents today. But when her daughter heard what her mother had done, saw that her mother would stand with her no matter what, she saw something different. She saw her mother's heart. And then there was that day where Jesus walked over to the Samaritan woman at the well, which was two reasons he was not supposed to talk to her. She was a Samaritan, and she was a woman. And the disciples got nervous because Jesus had been baptizing all of these people. And now what would people think? Would all of a sudden the baptisms dry up? So the disciples looked around, made sure there was no paparazzi, made sure no one saw what happened, and pulled Jesus aside. But Jesus turned to them and shared his heart, that she was as important as anybody else. We cannot let fear dictate our hearts, because if we do, we lose a part of ourselves. That courage can feel like we are trying to light a wet match. But since love cannot wait, neither can courage. That when we look upon the cross of Jesus, we see an act of love. But in the early church, the story of the crucifixion was a blemish on their faith. It was a shameful, disgraceful way to die. As Paul says, it was a stumbling block for Jews and foolishness for Gentiles, which covered just about everybody. So how can something that represents public disgrace be found at the very center of our faith? It's because love does not shy away from fear. That the cross is God's full heart standing with us no matter what, sharing grace and love, forgiveness and mercy for all the world. And we are called to share our full hearts, to stand with others in need, no matter what. Sometimes it can help to think back to a simpler time when our fears were more about the monsters under our bed than the opinions of others. When we learned that wonderful song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." Now, I know something that simple could never be that powerful. But I wonder if when we are facing our fears, when we are worried about the opinions of others, if we might say those words to ourselves as a prayer, that this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Amen.